Welcome to His Great Name, where we hold up and honor the great name of King Yeshua. It's good to be with you again this week, sharing with you the things of the kingdom of Adonai. The title of our teaching today is, What If? What if there was no such thing as forgiveness? Have you ever imagined what it would be like if there was no forgiveness? John Lennon wrote a song called Imagine, which was about a world full of peace, love, and harmony. Have you ever imagined a world without forgiveness? Imagine no forgiveness between Elohim and man. Imagine no forgiveness between men. Imagine a world without forgiveness. Such a world would be full of anger, strife, bitterness, hatred, animosity, hostility, war. You get the picture. Massive chaos. That's a really sobering thought. We all sin. We all make mistakes. We all have regrets. We all have things in our past that we would change if we could. But we can't change the past. So the only alternative is forgiveness. There are two directions from which forgiveness flows. First, from Elohim to man, and then from man to man. Whether forgiveness flows from Elohim to man or man to man, we need it at some time in our lives. Romans 3:10 says, There is no one righteous, no, not one. Forgiveness. What a wonderful, beautiful word. What hope it brings to the soul. Forgiveness brings reconciliation, compassion, harmony, fellowship, freedom from guilt, and peace. Shalom. We could say it like this. Unforgiveness is the curse of chaos, and forgiveness is the blessing of peace. Shalom. Shalom with Elohim. Shalom with man. In Hebrew, shalom is spelled shin, lamed, vav, mem. Ancient Paleo-Hebrew was a pictograph form of writing, and each one of the letters in the Paleo-Hebrew alphabet form a picture, similar to Egyptian hieroglyphics. In the Paleo-Hebrew, the shin was pictured as two teeth, which means strong teeth or destroy. Lamed was pictured as a shepherd's staff, representing authority. Vav was pictured as a tent peg or nail, which means attached. And Mem was pictured as water or waves, which represent chaos. The picture is, destroy the authority attached to chaos. The chaos caused by unforgiveness is destroyed by forgiveness, because forgiveness brings shalom. What if Adonai had not originated forgiveness? What do I mean? I mean, Adonai is the author of forgiveness. He started it, and it was his idea. Without forgiveness, there would be no freedom from the guilt of sin, no access to Adonai's presence. Adonai initiated the means by which we would be forgiven, and Adonai, in his faithfulness, initiated the way of forgiveness for us through Yeshua, the Lamb of Elohim, slain from the foundation of the earth. What if Adonai had not made the covenant with Abraham and his seed? This world would be a different place. In fact, it might not even be here. The covenant made with Abraham was entirely of God's free grace, and it is called mercy to Abraham. And God confirmed his promise to Abraham by an oath. Hebrews 6:13, because God could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Oh, hallelujah. Adonai did all these things for us who were in a helpless, fallen condition. There truly is no one like our Elohim. Had he not initiated the covenant, we would not have forgiveness. And then he swore by himself the oath of the covenant. Adonai provided the way of forgiveness between himself and man. The covenant was made sure by Messiah's shed blood. Yeshua was punished for our rebellion that we might be forgiven. And because we are forgiven, we escape the wrath to come and we are reconciled with Adonai. Because of Yeshua's shed blood, sin is stripped of its destroying power. His blood destroys the authority that is attached to chaos. and gives us shalom, peace. It is the free gift of God. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Man can now freely receive Adonai's expensive gift of forgiveness. It cost him the blood of his only begotten Son. Yeshua bore the curse of death for us that we might receive the blessing of forgiveness and life in him. Micah 7:18, 19 contains these beautiful words. "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." This verse reveals that our Elohim is distinguished from all the others. None pardons like him. There is no one like our Elohim who is so willing to pardon wickedness done against himself and others. Why does Adonai forgive like that? Because he delights in showing mercy and forgiving us, which means he enjoys doing it. The reason is not in men, but in Adonai himself. It is in his character. He is merciful to men because he delights in mercy. He does not forgive in a begrudging way. If we repent, he gladly removes our sins from us. Adonai forgives so completely and so absolutely that offenses are put away as if they had never been. He figuratively hurls them into the depths of the sea. He not only forgives, he forgets. Hebrews 8:12, "For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." When I first came to the Lord, I had a concept of a God who was just sitting up there waiting for us to mess up so he could squish us like a bug. And then I started reading the Word, asking him to let me know him, not just know about him. I wanted to know him. I did not realize at the time that Adonai reveals himself, his character, his nature to us through his Word. I came upon this scripture in Ezekiel 19:32. "I take no pleasure in the death of one who dies, so return, teshuvah, and live." It was a huge revelation to me that God did not delight in judgment, but desires for us to teshuvah, return to his ways, and live. While he will bring judgment if we don't forgive, he doesn't desire to do it. His desire is for us to love him, and out of that love for him, to listen and do what he says. That's why our scripture study is so very important, because he reveals himself to us through his Word. We learn of him, we learn how to please him, and it pleases him for us to forgive others just as he has forgiven us. It is in his Word that we see the connection between receiving forgiveness and giving forgiveness. In Matthew 6:9 through 14, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." Notice the only comment that Yeshua makes about the whole prayer is in reference to verse 12. Yeshua first states it in the positive. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And then he states his commentary in the negative. "But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." Yeshua is doubly emphasizing this. He really wants us to understand, forgive and we are forgiven, don't forgive and we are not forgiven. Those are his own words, and he could not have been any more clear. Now also notice in verse 12, Messiah states that the proportion in which we forgive others is the same proportion in which we are forgiven. "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our debtors." We are to forgive others just the same as we want him to forgive us. And this is not the only place Messiah says this. Look at Mark 11:25-26. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. We have to meet God's conditions to receive from Him and have our prayers answered. And forgiving anything you have against anyone leaves out no one. Now let's look at the parable in Matthew 18:23-35. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Yeshua said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, a little comment here. 70 times seven means we should forgive every time. The subject is our forgiveness of others. Verse 23. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle with them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife, children, and all he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before the king, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, Pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you. Now notice here that this fellow slave makes the same plea that had been made by the one wanting the payment that he had made to the king. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you? And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the tormentors until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. I believe this is a very clear warning to us from Yeshua himself, because Messiah specifically applies this to us by his commentary, My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. Messiah is warning us that if we do not forgive, our master will not forgive us, just like the king in the story. Because the slave would not forgive his fellow slave, the king was furious and calls him wicked and turns him over to the tormentors. Torment for us is in three areas. Physical torment. Unforgiveness is a barrier to receiving healing from God. Mental torment, which can be in the form of fear or confusion. And spiritual torment, which is a blockage to receiving answers to our prayers or accusations that we're no good, we're not saved, there's no hope for us, we're going to hell, or we've committed the unpardonable sin. Unforgiveness is actually a sin of the heart, tucked away where no one but Adonai sees, and it opens us up to the curse. The blessings are stopped, and we're turned over to the tormentors. And that's a heavy price to pay just to hold a grudge. Unforgiveness towards someone has more repercussions on us than on the object of our unforgiveness. I heard someone say unforgiveness is like us drinking poison and expecting the other guy to die. Most of the time, our unforgiveness is against those who are closest to us, the ones that we deal with the most, the ones around us daily. Personally, I just don't think it's worth having unforgiveness towards a husband or your wife or your mother-in-law or father-in-law or your sister or brother or maybe even sister so-and-so down at the assembly, whomever. The price is too high to pay. Some of y'all may be thinking, but Sherry, you don't know what they did to me. You're right. I don't know. But I do know what Messiah has done and what he did when he is being hung on the execution stake. As they nailed him to the stake, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Has our conduct before men been perfect? Have we been so perfect we have never offended anyone? There's a story about Reverend John Wesley, who in the course of his voyage to America heard an unusual noise in the cabin of General Oglethorpe, the governor of Georgia with whom he had sailed. Wesley stepped in to inquire the cause of it, and the general addressed him. Mr. Wesley, you must excuse me. I have been met with a provocation too great for a man to bear. You know, the only wine I drink is Cyprus wine, and I provided myself with several dozens of it. And this villain, Grimaldi, who was his foreign valet, has drunk up the whole of it. But I will be revenged on him. I have ordered him to be tied hand and foot and carried to the man of war which sails with us. The rascal should have taken care how he used me so, for I never forgive. Wesley looked at General Oglethorpe and calmly replied, Then I hope, sir, that you have never sinned. No other religion in the world tells people to forgive their enemies, but Yeshua showed us by his own example how we are to live and we are to imitate him. Ephesians 5:1, Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. We are instructed in Ephesians 4:31-32 to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander to be put away, along with all malice. We are to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as Elohim and Mashiach has forgiven us. So now that we see the need to forgive, how do we practically walk this out in our lives? What do we do? How do we begin? Well, the first thing we need to do is recognize by name those whom we need to forgive, those who we're holding a grudge against or have hard feelings against. Next, we need to understand that forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of the will. It is a decision. Feelings are uncontrollable and unstable. They're in the soulish realm, the carnal realm. We choose to make the decision by an act of the will to forgive, which is not based on how we feel, but based on the word of Adonai. Forgiveness is a spiritual response based on the instructions in the Torah. It goes against our carnal nature to forgive. But we have been born again, and our spirit man is to rule over the carnal flesh. We have been given the nature of Adonai, and his nature is to forgive. The third thing we need to do is realize that forgiveness and unforgiveness are actually spiritual weapons. We don't think of them as weapons, but they are. Unforgiveness is Hasatan's spiritual weapon against us, and it's one of the most subtle and most used weapon in his arsenal. It causes major damage to us. He knows that if he can keep us from forgiving one another, he can legally hold his ground, and we're sent to the tormentors. Unforgiveness gives him a stronghold over us. John 4:7 instructs us, Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How? We submit ourselves to Adonai by willfully forgiving in spite of how we feel about it. Forgiveness puts the devil on the run. Forgiveness is the counterpunch that completely disarms and destroys the enemy and his plans and puts him on the run. When you forgive, you take away his legal access to your life, his legal rights to keep you under the curse. When you forgive, you are breaking Hasatan's hold over you and tearing down the stronghold of unforgiveness in your life. 2 Corinthians 10:4, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 4, Next, go before the Lord. Declare that you forgive that person. Our spoken words are very powerful. Say it out loud. Lord, I forgive so-and-so. Name them. Say it out loud many times if you need to. Listen to your own voice declaring before the Lord your forgiveness for that person. The prayer of declaration is very powerful. Number five, after declaring you've forgiven them, later if feelings of hatred or resentment come up again, tell the Lord out loud, Lord, you know I have forgiven them. Don't allow yourself to go back to hard feelings. We need to realize that the battleground is the mind. All temptation starts in the mind, our thoughts. Hasatan will bring up the hurtful memories and keep us angry by keeping the emotions rolling. He wants to keep us in the carnal realm, the realm of feelings. But we are to operate in the spiritual realm. We are to control our mind by the Holy Spirit. The feelings of anger, resentment, hatred all come from the memories of the hurt inflicted. These feelings carry a seed of bitterness, and if not dealt with, a root of bitterness comes, and we will bear the fruit of bitterness. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Modern psychology has shown us that unforgiveness, rejection, anger, guilt, shame are most times at the root of people's emotional and mental torment. People cannot let go of their anger, so they are unable to forgive others. And they cannot let go of guilt and shame, so they cannot forgive themselves. Remember, the battleground is the mind. Don't dwell on the past. You control your mind. When wrong thoughts come, replace them with the positive. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. That's Philippians 4:8. Brethren, what if we all freely forgave each other just like Adonai forgives us? Imagine, that's the kingdom of heaven on earth. I'd like to close today's session with a prayer that you could use if you need to forgive others. Say this out loud. Lord, I come before you in Yeshua's name. I want to be forgiven of all my offenses. And I see that your word shows me I have to forgive others in order for you to forgive me. I forgive all who have hurt or rejected me. And I specifically forgive and name the person. As I want you to forgive me, I now declare I have forgiven them and you now have forgiven me. I thank you for it, Lord. And I ask to be released now from any and all claims of the evil one that he has against me in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. I hope this has been helpful for you in your life. The prayer that we pray today is also posted on my website, which is HisGreatNameMinistries.com. HisGreatNameMinistries.com. Until next week, Shavua Tov, and remember, be blessed and not stressed. Shalom.